We're very thankful this morning to be back home. Amen. Been out of town preaching in Longview, and we had a great time there. Two baptisms, many restorations. Wonderful family of God there. Good to be home. Good to see those who are here. Thank those who came out and supported the family yesterday on the loss of Brother Josie. And we're thankful to have such a loving family. Amen. We know we need each other, and we will always need each other. And so I do want you to know that we do have a grief program for those who are going through recent deaths and loss of loved ones. We got a new group ready to start up, so soon we get new students, we'll start that program up. That's third class. We've got three groups going now, so we want you to start at the beginning of it and go through it to 10 lessons. And trust me, it is beneficial for those who really want help. For those who don't want help, you're going to run from it. But if you need help, you need to get help. You get stuck in grief. Learn how to deal with it. It's like mental illness. You need help. Don't run from help.
Amen.
So here we are today, continuing our study of the cup. I've turned this into a series, starting with Jesus. We talked about how Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane asked God to pass the cup. He said, let this cup pass from me. So it was personal to him that he did. And we talked about that lesson one. You can go back and get it. It'll be under the sermon archive series called The Cup. And Jesus spoke of his Father's will. And then he said something like, the spirit is willing, that's his will, but the flesh was weak. Jesus' flesh was running from the suffering. And though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. It was obedience he learned was in the garden, where he learned that he had to do God's will. And even yesterday during the sermon, Brother Joseph, you know, he put in his obituary, just God's will. When we learn to get out of our will, we can learn to live according to the will of God. Amen. So I had us thinking about, are you doing that? Are you accepting the will of God in your life? Are you willing to drink of the cup of suffering, according to God's will? It's not God's will that we perish. It's God's will that we come to a repentance. It's God's will that we deal with the cups of suffering in life, and it always be in the flesh. And I asked you in the first sermon, how often do you make decisions based on your will and not God's? How often do you make excuses and make up reasons not to serve God and live according to your will? How often do you make decisions not to serve God because to serve God you'd have to put up some things? You have to do some suffering. You have to go through some pains. And how often do you ask God to let the cup of suffering pass rather than do it according to his will? How many of you are giving up on struggling relationships, or struggling marriages, or giving up on problems that would require you to make some sacrifice and go through some suffering? How many of you are avoiding to get involved and do things for the Lord that will be according to his will, but you find reasons not to? Because your spirit is willing, but your flesh is saying no. And this is what we talked about. And I looked at Elijah's will. Elijah, when suffering, he started drinking of the cup. Elijah ran. That was lesson two. Elijah ran. He got on a juniper tree, and God sent, as he did to Jesus in the garden, he sent an angel to him. And God took care of Elijah. But however, Elijah was running from Jezebel, and he was concerned about the pain that would come to the flesh. See, we might have a spirit that's willing, but our flesh is trying to resist the pains and the sufferings that we go through. This morning, I want to talk about the Apostle Paul's cup of suffering in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 5. In verse 5, he said, of such a one will I glory.
Yet of myself,
I will not glory,
but in my infirmities.
Paul said, I'm not going to glory about the revelation. He's talking about revelations he had. But it was comparing him to the false apostles. So in verse 6 it said, but though I would desire
to glory, I should not be a fool.
I'm not going to just be a fool and glory about all the things I could do. But I'm going to go this direction, he says. I will say the truth.
But now
I forbear, lest any man should think
of me above that which he seeth me to be.
Above that which he...
Or that he heareth of me.
Yeah.
And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh.
See, the thorn is the corn, is the cup I'm talking about. Paul said there was given to me a cup. It's going to be in the flesh. What Jesus was asking his Father to do was take away the pain of the killing, the crucifixion, the scourging. He knew he would have to go through pain to carry out his Father's will. And what I'm trying to get us to do is grow to the point to be willing to take the cup. Take whatever God hands you in life and deal with it with God on your side. Paul said, God gave me this thorn, this cup. He said, that messenger
of Satan
to buffet me.
Lest I should be exalted above measure.
This would set him apart from these apostles. It would benefit the Corinthians to hear about the cup, about this thorn in the flesh. Some scholars say, get for him in Galatians chapter 4. It was a thorn in the flesh. Was a physical handicap. But the Bible don't say specifically what it was. But we know it was a flesh issue. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 13.
The Bible says, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first.
He said, through the infirmities of the flesh. So we know that his weaknesses was in the flesh. Through the infirmity of the flesh. He says, what else?
And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus.
So we know, my point here is that whatever he was suffering, whatever he suffered, it was in the flesh. So to suffer our flesh, the human side of us, we can have a willing mind, but the flesh will cause you to move. It'll cause you to run from the cup. We got a cup to drink. And we can't run from the cup. You got to deal with it. Yeah. We know the Bible says here that the messenger of Satan was given to Paul to buffet. That word buffet means to punch. Life will send us punches in the gut, and you're going to feel the pain. We know the cup, the thorn, was given to Paul, allowed by God. Something Paul would have to deal with in the flesh. This thorn, this cup, was meant to torment, to harass, to buffet, to bring him pain. And the next one we're going to look at is Job's cup. But in every case, Satan was in the mix. Satan was in the mix when Judas betrayed him. Satan is in the mix here. God allows him to buffet Christians. We're going to look at the Christian cup. God is going to allow Satan to buffet us, to give us the cup. I don't know what your cup is. I know mine, but you should know what your cup is. And you're running from the pain. Know this. It was not necessarily something you done wrong. We don't have to live with guilt. Forgiveness is available. But that doesn't mean we're going to escape the consequence of the decision or the consequences of our sin. You don't have to live with the guilt, but you got to deal with the cup. And God has power to remove it, as he did with Jesus in the garden. He could have called 10,000 angels. But Jesus could have done it himself. But Jesus got out of his will and said, if it be your will, let this cup pass. And that's how we got to look at life. Life will send us cups. Painful. Pain-filled life. Our health. Your health can be your cup. You may have cancer. That's a cup. You got to deal with it. It's in the flesh. If it was our will, we wouldn't let nothing happen to us. But it's in the will of God that you get the positive results of cancer. He could have stopped it. It's your cup. You got to drink it. It's in the flesh. This world is not our home. Amen. We just passing through. Our rest don't come in this life. Our rest comes when we, our hands press the dying pillow. That's when we get carried to Abraham's bosom if we've lived according to the will of God. Amen. Your finances may be your cup. Your marriage, your spouse may be your cup. You married her. You married him. Now you know what you got. You can't run the divorce court unless it's adultery. That's it. You say, Rob Brooks, he's abusing. I said, that's it. Why, God said it. That's your cup. You got to deal with it. And some of you can make your marriage better just by asking each other to forgive you. If you bring God in the middle of it, forgiveness is in order. That's it. You say, well, brother, but you just, I don't have to know. I know forgiveness is in order. Doesn't matter what they've done. Some of you go back to the beds and get off them couches, go back to your bedrooms. And ask each other to forgive you. The devil's in the mix. Somebody got the devil in them. Somebody ought to have God in the house. Bring God back to the marriage. That's your cup. You didn't want him. Now you know what you got. It's your cup. Your children are just one child, maybe your cup. Your cup. Always in the trouble. Always on the phone. Every time, always the one into it. That's your cup. The cup may be a person in your life. Always poking, always poking, always poking, always buffet. This person makes me miserable. This person is your cup. Maybe a drug habit. You addicted, can't kick it. It's your cup. You got to deal with it with God. You got to deal with cups with God. A decision of your past keeps coming back to haunt you. A sin you can't forgive yourself for. A sin, one you just can't seem to kick. A painful experience. It never seems to heal. And every time the subject comes up, every time somebody says something about it, every time you see the person, it pulls the scab off the sore. That's your cup. A significant emotional event when death has come and taken our loved ones, they're not coming back. That's your cup. You got to deal with it with God. They're not coming back. It's a painful experience. It's a cup. As I said, it's not always that you've done something wrong. It's not always that it's because God is trying to punish you. God is saying you got to deal with life, and whatever comes in life, in time comes laughter. Time, it's a time to laugh. It's a time to cry. It's a time to weep. It's a time to plant. It's a time to pluck up. Everything's in God's time, and it's in His will. Whatever comes to Brooks is in the will of God. Could be a single woman. You're pretty. Why I can't find a good Christian man? That's your cup right now. It's your cup. Suffer through it. Don't just marry outside the church. Don't marry in lust. You marry when you love. Two men have married in lust. You rushing into marriage. Don't rush into marriage. Find you a man or a woman who's trying to go to heaven. Amen. Could be a child without a daddy. You don't know what it's like to have a daddy. I understand. It's your cup. But you got a daddy. And you need to find him. You need to love him. And you need to forgive him. It's your cup. Maybe a child without a mother. Every time you see someone else, their mother, or you see your own, it hurts. Well, shit, why mama wasn't in my life? Why me? It's your cup. Am I making sense? Get y'all quiet. Amen. It's your cup. It's your cup. So I try, if any little girl, little boy want a daddy, I'll try to be the best dad I can. But I'm not your daddy. Amen. You got to give respect to the one who is your daddy and your mama. You got to forgive them. You got to love them. You got to help save their soul. I baptized a young kid this week. And that was a conversation. Hey, he didn't want to get back. He's afraid of his dad. I said, it may be you to save your daddy. And a smile came on his face, like, me? Yeah. Because you obey God. Could be what changes your daddy. It's his cup. We all got cups. A child who knows not your real mama. A child who knows not your real daddy. It's your cup. Parents, maybe you're thorn. You're living in a church. I'm talking to the teen, young your people now. You're in the house where you see it. They say they Christians. But you see how they live. You come here with them every week. But you know they're not living a Christian life because they're cussing each other out. They're drinking. They're talking. And they act different when they come here. But that's okay. You keep coming. And you act different because it may be you, young lady, young man, that saved your mom and daddy. Amen. It may be you because of your life. But that's your cup right now. Don't hate them. Don't look down on them. Love them and ask them, can we just live the way God wants us to live, mama? That's not a disrespectful thing. But you as a young Christian to go to your mom and dad and say, the way y'all acting is not like Christians. I hope y'all know you can't be saved like this, mama, daddy. And all of us who are parents ought to take heed to how we live before our children. We ought to take, all of us as men ought to take great pride in being leaders of our family, spiritual men who lead their wives and their children to heaven. Amen. That's where we're trying to go. And I want my kids, when I'm sleeping beneath the sod, I said, Daddy, show me the way. No, he wasn't up here. No, he wasn't down here. My dad, I don't want my children to think I'm perfect. I tell them that you don't have a perfect daddy. You got a daddy that tries to get to do God's will. Amen. That's what I want them to know. So at some point in their life, they make the same decision. You got to put your best foot forward. Cup. Child whose parents are divorced. It's the child's cup. Got to go to his house this weekend and that house that weekend. Got my mama, get time with my mama and then time with my daddy. I love them both, Brother Brooks. I know. But it's your cup. It's your cup. You got to love them both. You should love them both. Take your visitation right and live the spiritual life before them. And maybe you, young man, that bring your mom and daddy to their senses and come back together. Amen. Then those who are living in homes. You're not divorced on paper, but in the house you're divorced. You get two different. Y'all are roommates. Yeah, well, you may not even be roommates anymore. You probably got your two different rooms. You see, so many people, even where I came from, so many couples, when I talked about this same kind of stuff this past, how many couples that come and reveal to me their condition in the house is not the condition on the pew. They sit by each other on the pew. But in the home, they divorced. In the home, they separated. In the home, they're not one in their home. Unfortunately, some of them stay in it to get the kids out. Once the kids are gone, so am I. Yeah. But if you walk out on your sister, that's your cup. That's your cup. Pray for him. Don't hate him. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? You know, at some point you come in your life, you get tired. You know, you say, man, look here. It's some things you don't have to deal with no more. At some point you say, no more. When you're ready to change, you can say, no more. When you want to become a strong spiritual man, you can say, no more. I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to sit on the back pew. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do the best I can to be the spiritual man that God would have me to do and get out of my will and into his will, and you'll become a better man in the church. You'll become a better husband to your wife. You'll become a better daddy to your children if you get out of your will and get into the will of God. Some of you brothers know you have more potential that you're putting out at this church building. You don't want to drink the cup. You don't want to be an elder. You don't want to be a deacon. You don't want to serve on no ministry. You just want to be on the pew. You're a pew woman, brother. You don't want to drink the cup that come with leading God's people to the promised land. Amen. We have to take what come with it. I don't like sitting around fussing and fighting with members of the church. But I understand it's out of my will. That's God's will for me to be dealing with somebody who's troubled. Dealing with somebody who has marital problems. Somebody who's in depression. Or somebody who hates me because I did something dumb. I can easily ask for forgiveness. I'm doing that. Anybody can say, just forgive me. That's it. Problem line, I ain't making no excuse. If I offended you, if I'm hurting you some kind of way, forgive me. End of discussion. What are you saying, brother? That's in the will of God. It's in the will of God. Would anybody come to me and say, I'm done. You are forgiven. Amen, somebody. So what are you saying? Yeah, I'm trying to bring us somewhere. Paul, in this text, he said, he besought the Lord Three times. You got that verse?
That it might depart from me.
He asked God three times, take the cup away. Jesus asked three times in the garden, remember? Take the cup away. In both cases, listen carefully, the resounding answer from God was no. So ask three times if you want to. But at some point, it's God's will. Paul said that this thing may leave me, depart. And he said to me, my grace is, God responds, Jesus responds, my grace is sufficient
for thee.
My strength is made
perfect in weakness.
Most gladly.
Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities,
the
that the power of Christ may rest upon
Here's
me.
Here's why we get there. That rest right there is like a tent. Like he's saying, once you accept God's will, the power of God rests on you. It covers you. It overshadows. No cup, no tent. You don't need a tent if it ain't no sun out. You don't need no tent if you can't feel the heat. You ain't got to be a Greek scholar to get this, but just that's what that rest means. Test. Tent. No cup. No tent. Jesus saying, I'm not taking it away. Why? And Paul said, now that I know what he said, I'm going to take glory in my infirmity. What? I'm going, when I see my weakness in my flesh, I'm going to glory in it. Why? Because that's when I get my tent. Yeah. Ooh. I consider myself a minor these days. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? Miners dig for gold. And I'm digging the scriptures for everything I can get to help me. Amen. You do what you want to do with it. I preach today for me. Because I know where I am in my life. I got to have my, you can see it. Got to have my tent. So you can't push the cup if you want your tent. Notice this. The Lord said, assured Paul. He assured him that I'm not going to take away the cup, but I'm going to give you strength. And sometimes the pain from the cup keeps us humble. It keeps us holding on to God. It keeps us praying. It causes us to forgive. It causes us to change our lives. It causes us to be more compassionate and caring and loving. It causes us not to look down on others. It causes us to understand pain comes to every life. And not if we can't empathize, we can sympathize. And where we can empathize, we can put our shoes in those, our feet in those shoes. When you have lost a wife, only then do you know what that feels like. We can't walk in everybody's shoes. But you can understand pain. You can understand the cup will humble you. The cup will keep you praying. The cup will remove people out your life. The cup will make you change. The cup is to our benefit. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. The tent. What do we realize? God's grace is enough. So why we need grace? Because we're in the flesh. We're in the flesh. And no matter how sick you may be, no matter what you may be going through, God has said, hey, look, I'm not going to take the cup, but I'm going to take care of you. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, they threw them in the lions, in the fire, refurnished. God didn't take that away. I mean, in the lion's den, a throne in furnace, but he kept the fire from burning them. In Daniel 6, he threw Daniel in the lion's den. He didn't stop him from going in there, but he kept the lion from biting him. I'm trying to get us to see, God is not going to take away the pain of losing a child, of losing a mama, of losing a daddy, of losing a sister, or dealing with cancer, or dealing with a problem, dealing with paralysis, or whatever you're dealing with. He may not take that away. But if it brings you closer to God, it was good for you. Amen. All things work together for good. Amen. Say, God, thank you for the cup. Thank you for the cup. Because of the cup, there are some cups that'll make you say, I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Some cups will cause you to make drastic changes. The cup. And folk will look at you and say, what's wrong with them? The cup. He drinking his cup. How you doing? Drinking my cup. Got any other questions? Now you understand I'm dealing with something painful. That's what we can all say now. How you doing? Drinking? What you drinking, Brother Brooks? My cup. They say, as it for as God's will want it to be. Take the good with the bad, the bitter with the sweet. It's all the cup. And it's in the flesh. So what are we saying today? God does not always remove the pain. But he said, my grace is sufficient. Paul wanted this cup be gone. But so did Jesus. You remember what Jesus said, brother? He asked him, Father? He said, Abba, Papa, Daddy, I don't want to go to the cross. My spirit is willing. But I already feel the pain of the whipping. How many of you are ready for your cup? He said, brother, how do you get ready? Paul said, well, I take pleasure and firmness in the reproach of necessities, persecution, and stress of Christ's sake, for when I'm weak,
then I am strong.
Paul's attitude was, I'm going to take pleasure in whatever comes. Because when I'm at my weakest point, when I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. That's when I'm strong. And when I'm strong, y'all, I say, I don't know how. I don't know how. All I know is who. I don't worry about the how no more. I'm focused on the who. Who gonna get Brooks through? Who must I lean on? Whose hand must I hold on to? Whose hand will never change? My friends' hands can change. But God's hand is unchangeable. Amen. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Bro, attitude. I don't know who here. But if you're not a Christian, you're in a bad, bad place. Because you're going to drink the cup, and you can't even ask God to remove it. You can't pray. You can. But the Bible says God will not hear a sinner's prayer. Now we know, John 9:31, that God hears not sinners. You say, brother, who's a sinner? Anyone who have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. How do you be washed in the blood of the Lamb, Brother Brooks? Jesus said, go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and he'll baptize shall be saved. You got to be baptized to get washed in the blood of Jesus, and then you receive the Holy Spirit, and the Lord then will add you to the only church in the Bible, that's the Church of Christ. We're live on YouTube these days, which is a good thing. But understand what I'm teaching. That all of us must understand the will of God was to send his son to this world. His son came to this world, lived among men, 33 years thereabout. Judas kissed him with a kiss after he prayed in the garden. They took him in 6 trials according to the will of his father. He stood before Pilate according to the will of his father. Pilate tried to appease the people, beat him with a whip, called a flagellum. The pain from the whip would leave stripes all over his body, where blood would flow from his body according to the will of his father. Isaiah said, who would believe the report? The report of how the son was treated, how he was mangled, beaten. His visage was marred. His visible appearance from the whip was mangled, his face and body. It was according to the will of his father. Then they put a crown of thorns on him, according to the will of his father. Then they put a tree on his back, according to the will of his father. Led him up a hill called Calvary, according to the will of his father. What you doing, Jesus? Drinking. What you drinking? My cup. Why don't you come down? Why don't you can't call the angels? They'll rescue you. Nails in your hands and in your feet. Call your angels, Jesus. I can't time it. Why? It's not my will. I'm living the will of my Father that I would die for the sinner. And the sinner would have to be washed in my blood without the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:22. There is no remission or forgiveness of sins. He had to drink the cup. He had to drink the cup for your sins to be washed away in baptism. How many of you ain't been baptized? Grown men ain't been baptized. Teenagers ain't been baptized. God forbid older people, senior, you in your golden years, haven't been baptized and worshiping according to true worship, where you sing, you pray, you take communion every Sunday. Die in the Lord, die in the church that you can read about in the Bible. Why? It's just God's will. It was God's will to have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, one body, which is his church. What's that, Brother Brooks? It's in the will. It's in the will of God that the saved will be saved in a church called the Church of Christ. Amen. I really wish it was the Baptist, but I can't say that on national TV because that wouldn't be the truth. Amen. I wouldn't even say it if they weren't looking. But because they're looking, I'm definitely going to say it. Somebody said, when they won't call name, that's why I'm the preacher. I drink the cup. Amen. I take what's coming with it. But I was Baptist, good people. All my mom and dad and them were good people. They're not the people. But the doctrine is wrong. Amen. The doctrine is outside of the will. And in the church, God, we understand something. We are people of doctrine. That's why we are narrow-minded. Doctrine matters. Doctrine. What you being taught. You got to be taught the will of God, and the will of God for you to be saved must hear the gospel. You got to be touched by that death story of his only son crucified on the cross. You got to believe in Acts 15:7, number 2. Number 3, you got to repent right where you are. Say, I'm not leaving today. I'll never drink another cup without God. Be willing to make a confession. You believe he's the Son of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father and the angels in heaven. Then after that, you got to be baptized. Why? It's a command. It's in the will. Amen. But no command to pray the sinner's prayer. Ain't no command to accept Jesus, your personal Savior. The command is to believe and be baptized according to the Master. Amen. Amazes me how people can believe in Jesus. They won't believe in his command. You don't believe in Jesus. How many of y'all can relate to Paul this morning? Amen. Who got a cup in here? Am I the only one? Amen. Say amen if you got a cup.
Amen.
How you going to drink it? God said, my grace. Drink it with me. And I'll take care of you. When you're drinking your cup, you say, Lord, all I want is my tent. So bring the cup. Because I need my tent. He said, the power of Christ shall rest upon me. That a good lesson?
Amen.
That a good lesson. What I want to do today, if you're called, your fountain is free. I can't even do all my trials. Can we change it? I know that might be a challenge for some of y'all to change it to all my trials back there in the back. Can you sing that song? Because I can lead it if you want me to. I better stick to preaching.
Thank you, brother.
I wouldn't want you to drink the cup of suffering me leading. Let's get back serious, though. Some of you, you know, we lost Brother Joseph. He was diagnosed in May, and we lost him in August. I just wonder how many of us are really trying to save our souls. You know, I know we all got weaknesses. I got mine, you got yours. Well, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, you got to try. You got to try, bro. How you try? Step up and start. Make your confession if you need to. Ask God to forgive you. Repent and come back home. Some of your sisters need to come home. You done left the Lord. You know you've been unfaithful. You out there drinking that cup without God. Come home this morning. Amen. Who should come? Those who need to repent. Those who need to make confession. Those who need prayer. Those who need the tent. Those who need to get baptized. You ought to come this morning. Why? Today is the day of salvation. Today, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. When you come, as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.